Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric, with me is my co-host Ray.
Hello.
Yeah, happy Indominus Day. That's right. We're the day after the pre-releases went up for the new 9th edition, the new 40K, all kinds of new goodies that were supposedly released yesterday. So available for pre-order. You've got 2 weeks before it actually gets in your grubby little hands. Hopefully we'll see some internet leaks to get some of the last minute things. Ray, you attempted to order a couple things online and had an experience that was shared by many.
Yeah, I tried to, I jumped on at about 10 minutes before 10, which is what time here it updates. And I thought, hey, for the hell of it, I'll go ahead and try to order the box set. So I jump on and I keep hitting refresh. Box doesn't show up. It's not on the web store at all. Doesn't show up even on the web store until 10 minutes after 10. So I didn't think too much about it. I'm just like, oh, all right, I'll just go ahead and order it. So I put it in the web cart and I get to the part where, since all my stuff, I was already logged in before any of this even started. So it should be pretty quick and straight. But I got to the part where all you have to do is hit the button that says pay, because everything was already in the system, credit card, mailing address, billing address, all that fun stuff. But when I hit the button, nothing happened. So I went ahead and tried again, hit the button, nothing happened. The website basically quit working and doing anything for about 10 minutes. So by this point, we're talking 20 minutes after 10. It finally starts working like normal. When I go to hit the pay button, it tells me one of the things in my cart is not in stock. And of course, I know exactly what item that is. Sure enough, go to look, and it's out of stock. So I had to just not get it that way. Now, I have to be honest, I really didn't care if I got it. It was just kind of a, hey, let's see if I can. But a lot of people were in the same place as me, yeah.
And from what I could tell from doing some research, this wasn't a local thing to our time zone or perhaps our local area. Patrons from England who are not only trying to get onto Games Workshop's website, but also even Element Games, which is sort of the frontline gaming of Europe, equally had problems. They got onslaughted and their site went down as well. And once it came back up, item was sold out. Seeing across many channels, retailers, even your local friendly game stores here were given a heads up on Friday that you may not get as many boxes as you originally had asked for. So not really sure what happened. Was, you know, were they behind in production at the factory because of COVID? Did they just underestimate sales again, which is seems to be a kind of a reoccurring trend with some of the previous codices we've seen that happen? So not really sure what happened here, but I think the big concern was, and my wife brought it up as well, says, well, they're going to make more, right? I don't know. They said this was a limited run.
Yeah, this is a limited run. This is not the starter. People seem to forget that quite a bit. But yeah, this was only meant to be a kind of a celebratory thing. New edition, yay, come get a box. But this is not the actual starter box for the edition. I've heard a lot of people say that it's going to be August when that comes out. And it'll probably be mostly the same as this box, but I'm willing to bet that there will be one or two models in each side that won't be in the actual starter box.
I'm willing to bet, yeah, I think even more than that. I think you're going to see a severe chopping of what's actually in the box at this particular point. And certainly not the special edition rule book that they were talking about.
So, definitely not.
So, which, I don't know, I didn't get a whole lot of glances at what exactly was in that rule book, what made it special edition or not. But
well, the one for the launch box, which is what it is, the launch box Indominus, it's just a cover that doesn't have any writing on it.
So no additional artwork or anything like that. So, no. Okay. So now you picked up some of those special edition codices in the past, and those things look fantastic. And I'm kicking myself I never picked up the special edition version of my codex, because it had a sketchbook from Jess Goodwin. And there's some unreleased ideas that never came to fruition into models. And they look really awesome. And it's like, now that you're seeing some of the old Necron ideas coming out in the new line, I'm kind of like, is that a hint of the future? Is this what we'd see moving on? No, I'm kicking myself. Dark color,
you don't get that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Although the rumor engine, everybody's freaking out. There's a rumor engine with a person with a sword or something like that. Everybody's convinced it's the new plastic Lilith. So, which I'm like, that would make no sense whatsoever. But anyway, moving on. Not sure. All of a sudden, yes, the Necrons are the great baddies, and the Xenos to help out the Imperium would be the Drukhari. That makes no sense.
Well, okay. So I'm going to say this. It could be Yennari, because I might be wrong, but I think in the lore, Lilith actually sides with the Yennari, but I don't remember for sure.
That, yeah, supposedly, and that's one of the things that's increasingly frustrating with the Psychic Awakening Yennari update, which really was just a reprint of the White Dwarf rules, was, okay, Eldrad was, you know, pretty much the guy who orchestrated this whole thing. Lilith in the fluff absolutely said, I'm into this. And some people think that Vect put her in there as a, you know, kind of a double agent, or kind of be his eyes and ears, what this Yennari is all about and all that. Other people think that they broke up and she's, you know, taking revenge out on him. Long story short, you should be able to take Eldrad and Lilith in an Yennari army, and you can't. It says very specifically, you can only take the three triumvirate, and those are the only name characters you can take, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
But
well, they also have a new addition now, so might we see the right kind of changes?
Yeah. Be really cool to see the Yennari storyline move forward and kind of get an idea of what is going on with them, and trying to figure out exactly, you know, how would you forge a Yennari codex. But I have to admit, we'll get into discussion a little bit later, that whole always fights first, especially with the change that your opponent chooses who fights first after Chargers. Suddenly, always fights first gets a little bit stronger. So I was like, oh, I have to relook at my Yennari army. So,
well,
but anyway,
I think we'll see changes.
Yeah. So also, we got some in the news from our local retailer that, you know, people were standing on out. Side, which normally isn't a big deal for people in most parts of the world, but Saturday's temperature here in Phoenix was 119 degrees Fahrenheit for a high, and it doesn't just peak. I mean, it was easily 110 by 10 o'clock that morning.
Yeah,
and I know it was 119 at 3 o'clock when I dropped my kid off for hockey. I was just like, holy cow, it is hot. I was surprised we had ice, for that matter. But anyway.
Well, air conditioning is...
It was. Actually, it was the first time I can remember going to his practice not having to wear a sweatshirt, which is always the weird thing. It's like you got to bundle up. Like when you go for games, you got to wear a sweatshirt and then like a blanket because the bleachers just radiate cold. And
I don't even go on the ice with sweaters.
Yeah, I usually don't. Because I know once I get going, I'll be moving. That's about it. So it's having grown up in New England, it's really odd that I go ice skating with shorts on. This is something bizarre. But anyway, it was kind of refreshing to be there. And then he'd go back out. And my poor son, he's still all in this because of COVID-19. You have to be completely ready to go. Like all your pads and stuff. You're not allowed to change in the locker rooms. So you arrive, you just basically put your helmet on, get on the ice. So he's the whole car ride, he's in his like body armor. So he's like, we've got my own little space marine in the back. And then he's going to kind of waddle out and get these special blade guards so he can walk in his skates across the parking lot without ruining the edges. And he kind of waddles out there. And then he's done with practice. He's already drenching because this new coach is I'm going to try to say something politically correct here. Stickler. In the podcast. Stickler. Works them very hard. Yeah. No, it works really hard, which is a good thing. I think the change in coaching style is going to help him. And so he's already sweating to death. And now we go outside and it's like scorching heat. Yep. Trying to at least get his skates off so he can relax in the back of the car. So it was pretty funny. But he was asking, like, hey, do you want to stop at the hobby store and try and pick up what's in? At that point, I believe they were already sold out. So in terms of number of
pre-orders. Yeah, our store didn't even open until 12.
Yeah.
Which
so normally they take pre-orders.
Our buddy, Mark. Decided to jump in line at 8:30 in the morning because he forgot about that fact.
Love you, Mark. The dedication is pretty awesome. So, yeah.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
So I'm hoping they did well because, you know, it's been a bad time for them as well. I'm kind of torn at this point because I want to support them and with my job schedule right now and COVID-19 and their hours, I don't even know when I'm going to get to that store. Do I order online or not? Whole thing's kind of messed up. You and I were talking about the digital download route. My tablet does not, I forgot that Games Workshop got away from their previous formats. Everything's in EPUB only now. So now I'm like, I got to find a tablet that, my tablet does not accept EPUB. So I'm trying to figure that out. I'm just not prepared for this new edition.
Well, and we might see a bit of a change too when it comes to the their format for the digital copies with their app now. So that adds on another layer of complication.
I forgot. Yeah, let's talk about that in a little more detail because they talked about the app and there's a lot of people moaning and groaning about the app. And part of me is like, how many people are, cause here's, what's the back for it? The app comes out. How would you use it, Ray? How are you planning on using the app?
Okay. So I'm going to admit I did a subscription I already had that I was paying about $9 a month on. And I am going to actually do the subscriber option when it comes to the new app. And just to see how it is with about as full functionality as you're going to get day one. Because I'm curious, when you have the subscription, you are given all of the 8th edition rules. Which, until the codexes get updated, they're using their 8th edition rules still. So in a sense, I'll have the digital copy of all of the books so I can kind of experience what that'll be like on the app. If I like it, you know, I might stick with it a bit. If I don't, I'll just go to the regular version, which can still be useful. I mean, they did say anytime you buy a physical copy of the codex, you will be given a one-time use code for the digital copy as well for the app. So, you know, if it works well, I mean, you can potentially just stick with the digital copies and get it through there, or just stick with physical.
Yeah, so if I'm looking at my phone now, and I'm kind of shocked just how many apps I have that are strictly for the hobby. So I've got Battlescribe, and love it or hate it, for me, it works great. And so part of me is like, if the GW app has a functional army builder or not, part of me is like, I'm just going to stick with the one that works best for me. So if the GW one falls flat on its face, I still have Battlescribe. I'm not really that worried about it. If Battlescribe goes away because of copyright infringement, I might be in a pickle, but others have survived GW's wrath in a much more draconian era, so I don't see that happening. Second app I use most often for gameplay is, of course, the BCP app. That's not going away because it has nothing to do with the actual game rules. That's just getting you into the tournament and, of course, the lists of other tournaments and results of other tournaments. So that's not going away. And that includes both the player version and the TO version that I use. And then there's the third one that, as the ITC regional guy, I got to use that to approve other people's tokens. So that's not going to change. The biggest two things that I use a lot that I was hoping the app would have is, so the good news is, like I said, it has all the 8th edition codices. Great. Because one thing, I do not have a photographic memory. So when I'm playing an opponent, I'm kind of going, okay, I don't want to find out that the target I'm shooting at is toughness 5 after I've already rolled my 2-hit rolls. So the idea that I can flip through something quickly and get a quick glance is, okay, that's this skin. Like, I have a cursory knowledge at the table side, but I don't, if I've not played enough games against a particular opponent, I don't want to be caught by surprise, especially in this day and age where even when people are making their own army lists and printing them and handing them to you, they usually don't have the stats on them anymore. So that's where I'm like, okay, get an idea what's going on here. So that'd be handy. I was hoping they were going to redo the dice app. I find that thing to be really awesome because there's sometimes those feel bad moments where I'm trying to pick up the dice and I'm like, okay, I just rolled 80 dice. I hit on 3s. And then my opponent goes, you forgot a 2 over there. I'm like, okay, thanks. And I can tell just by the tone that they're kind of like going, what was he trying to pull? So I wasn't trying to pull anything. I'm trying to look at a 80 dice sprawled across a 2-foot by 2-foot square intermixed with models and terrain. I'm like, did I get them all? So,
well, to be fair, we will
see the dice app.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, you think you will see a new dice app?
No. I was going to say what we will see is we'll see a reduction in how many models we'll have on the table. So there won't necessarily be as many dice.
That's true. That's a good point. So maybe that'll get a little bit better. I do like the dice app. It was a lot of fun. I also cannot, my brain does not function on D3 very well. So I always screw that up. So it'd be kind of cool if there was I might have to pick up some physical D3 dice or something like that. And then the third thing, which I know is not in the app at this point, is scoring. There's the ITC Battles app, which kept electronic scoring of all your games. That was awesome. That made it so much easier to figure out what was going on. And yes, so I was hoping that the new app had that in there. So those are the things that I use apps for. So when I see people complaining, it's just like, yeah, you're right. If I play, like if I back in my old group back east, where we got together once a month in the basement and threw dice at each other and a couple models, do I need to have all this electronic gizmos? No, we were on a casual time. We had all Saturday to play. If I have to fish out my physical codex and actually look something up for 2 minutes, so be it. It didn't take that long. And if we got something wrong, it was no big deal. But in a tournament setting where I need all that stuff quick and handy, and I still have my spread, my ridiculous army sheet with all my cheats and quick notes and stuff like that, so I can reference things quickly. Yeah, no app's going to create that. So I don't know. I think I don't know what people expected from the app. That got them all upset.
Honestly, there's going to be people who are going to be mad because it's not absolutely free. Because,
true,
you know, they're going to look at it the same way as Battlescribe. Why don't you just have ads and just have it for free? Or they'll just argue that, you know, they make so much money, why should I give them more? I've also seen kind of what I would call the exact opposite argument, which is, why don't you just have everything on there for a subscriber and I just pay? It's not my argument, but it is an argument of someone I saw online. And
so the first argument, I'd say is what GW is promising already, you have to upgrade the Battlescribe to. I mean, there those ads, that ad-free version has a lot of, you know, if you upgrade Battlescribe to the, I forgot what they're called, their gold edition or subscriber edition, has a lot of the features that the GW app already has. So I don't know. The whole idea that I'm getting updates directly from the source makes a lot of difference. The pictures are a big deal. That was something I missed from, was it Army Builder? Was that the old one?
That's the only other one I know of.
I used to use Army Builder all the time. And then what's nice about that one was I had a lot of conversions in my army. So when I handed my opponent my army list in the tournament, I had pictures of the conversions. So they knew exactly, oh, those models are this. And a lot of times I thought they were making fun of my hobby skills. But no, I was playing such an obscure army that, you know, nobody plays this army. I don't even know what the GW models look like, but those look pretty cool. I run into it a lot because some, you know, my opponent goes, I'm going to target the grotesques, those guys over there. And I'm going like, those aren't racks. Those are the grotesques over here. Those are racks. Gonna get, oh, whatever. I'm like, really? Whatever? You're making fun of my army? You and Mr. Intercessors, Intruders, and Infiltrators. How many more iterations of the letter I can we throw into here? So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for the app, and if they keep expanding on it, I think it'll be great. And I've spent whatever it is, the subscription, I've spent that amount of money per month on much stupider things. So, I'm okay with
it. Fair, it's only going to be, they said £4, $3.99, but whatever, four. So for, you know, US dollars, that translates to roughly $5. That's really not, it is more expensive than the AOS last I checked. The AOS one is like $2, but it's gotten more to it too. And $5 isn't really that bad for the extras. Now, I do need to point out,
who knows, the extras might come across. The AOS one might get those extras and then raise their price.
Again, if it's just, if you're going to buy the rule book, but you just want to have that digital copy of your codex, you don't have to pay for the subscription because you'll buy your physical codex, or maybe you'll buy just a digital version. the app. I don't know. And even without the subscription, you have that. You have that available to you. You do not need to be a subscriber and pay for it to get that option. That's free. So if you have a problem with it, if you have a problem with it and you're going to bring it up to GW, be constructive about it or be happy with what you can do with it. And don't use it if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, actually, I forgot about that part. Yeah, you get what you bought, and it's automatically already on the app. So that's kind of cool. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the app. I'm really excited for it. And yeah, some of this belly aching. I was like, what are they upset about here? So I'm excited. But that app comes out the day of release, correct?
So they haven't outright said it, but I know a good while back, that's what they said they want. That's when they said they wanted it to
be. Okay. I was curious about that. Because then also all the FAQs, whatchamacallit, are also coming out that same day, correct?
Yeah, there's supposed to be some day one FAQs. It just has to do with updating a bunch of the 8th edition stuff to the 9th edition. So it'll be like the best example is what they're doing with Tau, where they can still Overwatch like normal.
Yeah, that was actually an excerpt from that, so I'm looking forward to that because there's definitely a couple factions, especially with the new morale phase rules between combat attrition and morale, you know, which some of them have bonuses and or debuffs to their opponent. Where does that apply? I know it's already been leaked, but the official list of blast weapons, they had a preview, which units have the aircraft keyword now, all that stuff.
Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple to use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and use a unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom.
And then probably the biggest thing everybody's really still waiting on is that chapter approved that's coming out the same day. You pre-ordered that already, which has all the point values, but also has the competitive missions pack in there. So
yeah, and I'm kind of curious as to, maybe you actually know the answer to this, since this is kind of something that popped in my head. Do we know, as far as rules go, how much is actually going to be in that, in the
chapter approved?
Yeah. Like, I know that there's going to be missions in there, but what about, like, is there going to be, you know, the pages that involve terrain so you don't have to lug the book around for that?
Oh, that I don't know. Pure speculation. It's going to be the missions. I mean, there's quite a few because there's, for each of the four sizes of games, there's three missions for each. And then I think the two middle ones, there's six missions. So I think they have that. They have the typical how to organize an event, you know, type thing. And they probably explain Swiss pairings, but if the terrain rules will be separate in there, maybe. I assume it'll have the match play rules. Actually, I do take that back. I do know this part. It does have the match play rules, such as, and some of them were, there are old favorites, but they're not my favorites. So for example, reserves need to be in by end of turn three. That's a match play rule. So that is in. The game ends on turn five. What else was there? No more than half of your units and half your points can start the game in reserve. That's a match play rule. That's going to be in there. And of course, the big 10-point bonus. So you have you have 45 points for all your primaries and 45 points for your secondaries. That adds up to 90. Let's round it off to an even 100. And Ray, you remember this. What are those 10 points based off of?
Well, they're not the armies painted.
That's correct. Boy, the internet is in an uproar. So yeah, if you got a fully painted army, you just got 10 points. 10 points for Gryffindor. So,
oh, there's something I want to point out real quick about that too. And if anybody who listens to, you know, battle reports that people are already doing for 9th edition, like Skaris, or listen to Frontline Gaming or other sources, these missions are designed for you to not be able to max out secondaries. You might max out your primary, which is 45 points, but it's pretty hard near impossible to max out on secondaries. So don't use the fact that they're going to get 10 points for a painted army when you play at a GT as an excuse. Because if you play better, you can get around that. That being said, there's no reason to, you know, be crazy about it, because I've already talked to people that I know around the state that play that, you know, they run the tournaments, and they're not going to do that. They're not going to give someone 10 points because extra points on top compared to yours because you didn't. It might be your first GT after you bought your army a week ago. GTs and majors,
you have to look at.
Expect it, but at RTTs, I can almost guarantee that they're not going to hold it against you.
Yeah, there's that whole entry to barrier entry thing that you need to look at, and there's a definite or strong argument that if the army's not painted, then I won't go. I'm kind of in the opposite end of things, so that's kind of I had folks that who I know are more hobbyist than competitive players that said they couldn't come to my event, and they let me know 6 weeks in advance because they felt they could not get the army painted to their standards in time for the event. And I already knew, having seen their armies, that they'll probably finish in the top 10 in best appearance if they brought what they had today. But to them, artistically, I cannot bring this to an event. And I'm going like, you've got to be kidding, right? And of course, me as a TO, I'm just going like, that's just dollars sucking out of my bank account. Awesome. Great. Somebody not showing up, but it's their prerogative. It's their hobby. Okay, if you don't want to bring that army. Or some people are just like, I can't bring the army I want to bring to an event because I can't get painted in time. But so the only thing I could think of as an alternative, I don't like the all or nothing part of thing. So I was going to kind of, first time I'm saying this out loud. So if you're hearing this, don't freak out. It's just a thought. Let us know what you think on our Facebook page. Normally, as a TO, you do paint scoring at lunchtime, because that way the players are out of the way, so you can kind of scurry around and take a look at it. Also because, excuse me, that opening hour there, getting registration done as a TO and getting everybody that first round of pairings and everything, it's a mad scramble. You really don't have time to get everything done. I have to admit, the mad scramble is not as bad as it used to be with the app. So part of me says, do the paint scoring first, right? Yep. And then you go around and then give people a score between 1 and 10 or 0 and 10. So if somebody shows up with I had a painted army, but wow, this new unit showed up and I bought them on Friday night, built them, you know, through the night, and I'm now fueled on Monster energy drinks to get through this tournament so I can try out this new unit, which is gray. Like, okay, so 80% of your army is painted to battle ready, you get 8 points instead of 10 points. And this guy's got half his army, so he gets 5 points. Do something like that as opposed to an all or nothing 10 points. That way people do show up, but there's incentive to actually start painting your models.
I like that idea.
That might be an alternative.
I think that's a great idea. But when you talk about, you know, X amount of your army, when you talk of percentages, you go off of points or model count at that point?
I would go off for model count, or actually I would go off of, I'd go off of model count. So you're looking at your displayed board, and I would kind of divide it into six quadrants and go like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Like if this much is painted, there we go. Do something like that. And then go back. Okay, who are the ones that had 10s? And those are the ones that go back at lunchtime to actually figure out who won best appearance. So something like
that. Okay.
Because remember, it says battle ready. It's not like, okay, this unit of Devastators are, wow, they're just barely three color minimum. But what, Khalgar, wow, that's a masterpiece. According to this 10-point thing, they have to be battle ready or better. Okay, if they're all battle ready, you're still getting the same points. Cool. All right. So no gray, no primer. I can go with that. That's an easy fix. However, you do bring up a key point. And if you have not seen Scari's, he's done 3 or 4 battle reports now. I've seen them all twice at least. 9th edition has what we know now, which is hilarious. So well, some of the earlier ones are kind of
common. Everything we know, everything.
Right. Like the first one, there's a couple of things they made up on the fly, but you know, we didn't know it was at the time. So it's, you know, I give them credit for it, but you hit it on the head, is those scores are not, it's not like ITC where can I max out? And then that was always the problem. That's one thing I was very frustrated with 8th edition was my army. I won a lot of games, but I didn't max out. So I'd be going into a bracket, like even if I was 3-0 going into day two, there's no way I'm catching some of the other guys, the Dan Olivises and Don Huzins of our group, because they not only won three games, but they also maxed out. You know, they were tabling opponents left and right. I don't play a tabling army, never have. So I'm like, oh, how do I ever catch up to these guys? The new rules, if you see, at least if Skari's reports are in the indication, I think the first game, both players scored around 45 points. And another game was about 50 points. Now, his most recent game, he did max out either his primary or secondary, I can't remember which one, but it was like 67 points. Both players got into the mid-60s in points. So that 10 points for being painted, suddenly it's more than 10%. So don't think of it just as 100, you know. So it's, be curious to see, and I also can say as players get better at the addition, will those point totals go up? Because there's a certain level of defense where I can deny my opponent's points. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm curious to see how that all plays out. But as a tournament organizer, that's one of the many things I'm trying to tackle. It's like, okay, then the addition's rolling around. So what to prepare at this point? So, and actually, I thought the first place is, I mean, you hit it right on the head. Ninth edition comes out in 2 weeks. Who are you going to play with? some areas, like our area, is still ravaged by COVID-19. getting together with people is going to be a little hard. So this might be the big release of with a big thud of more Theory Hammer. Yay. But you said you were kind of going back and forth and being perplexed on what it is you want to play in ninth. So what's going through your head right now?
Yeah. Well, I was sitting on four army. Got to be completely honest, not a single one of them is fully painted. Not a single one of them is half painted. You know, some are
less than 5 points.
So, I mean, it's like, what do I pick? I have no idea. I mean, I got
so
one.
So kind of go through what you got.
Yeah, so I've got a Chaos Space Marine Force. Easiest thing to do for me would probably be to go Black Legion. I mean, I've got a fairly decently painted Abaddon, I've got all the characters from the Black Legion, which includes not just Abaddon, but also the World Claimer. Fair amount of models there. Then I've got my Thousand Sons, which includes an Airman and Magnus. God only knows how expensive he's going to be in the new edition. I've got a Genestealer Cult army, and then I've got Primaris Space Marine, which I can't even decide how I'm going to paint them or which chapter to choose or any of that.
Yeah, you got a bit of a struggle there. I mean, obviously, with all the new stuff coming out, you know, Marines are probably going to get a Codex soon.
Yeah, they'll probably be the second or so. I actually think Necrons will get theirs first.
So that'd be interesting to see what that, you know, so you know they're being the first to be updated, which is always that. It's kind of intrepid place to be, because in one side, the first one's out the gate, so they got all the new toys first, but, you know, they, it always feels like the third and fourth Codex, you know, they finally get their feet in terms of the design team and what they really want, how this edition works. And, you know, sometimes new ideas creep in and then the first couple of codices don't get it, you know, miss out on that. So kind of think back to, you know, Space Marine and Chaos Space Marine codices from when 8th edition dropped, you know, how bad they were when they first dropped. They're good at the time, but, you know, as new codices came out, they were, fell by the wayside pretty quick. The Genestealer Cult one's an interesting one because I really don't know where they stand. And we're going to talk about the meta for 9th edition on next week's episode with some special guests. But because they get all those, you know, the blips and the ability to come in from, you know, from below and all that stuff like that for, you know, free, I'd be curious to see how they function in 9th. I'm still not sold on the reserve idea that because the 9-inch, you need to be still 9 inches away from an opponent and you're on a smaller table. Yeah, I know there's smaller models, smaller amount of units. I don't know. It's one of those things you have to play it and get a feel. I'm still not sold that there's going to be enough room on the table to get people in. The Thousand Sons one is interesting because as we've seen from what we see of the secondaries, there's those psychic specific secondaries and you've got tough troops because you're Thousand Sons. You're not your typical Thousand Sons player. You don't have 8,000 Zangors that, you know, do double duty as your AOS army. I mean, you've got pretty much, if I remember right, a ton of Rubric Marines, right?
Oh yeah. Ton. I'm sitting on a,
as well as
100?
Yeah. And if I remember, you had a Cult Scarab Terminators before it was cool. So those are tough. I mean, those are durable troops that are OBSEC with high AP weapons. So you're going to be holding objectives pretty well. And they're all psychers on top of that. So it's like, ugh. So I could have sworn some of them were painted.
Some, but not even half.
Oh, okay. So 4 points for you. So that might be that may be interesting coming out of the gate, seeing how that would work. I think that those might be, because Thousand Suns were pretty strong already in 8th, and then take a look at like all the cults that came out for them in Psychic Awakenings. You might have some pretty cool stuff there, making all that work. And then your Chaos Space Marines, you kind of generally mentioned Black Legion. I'm trying to remember, you had a couple of Disco Lords, Hellbrute. Okay.
One Disco Lord.
Oh, the two of the Venom.
Yeah, the Venom Crawlers are what I got two of.
There we go. So if you told me that list in 8th tells me you don't have enough of anything, it's kind of a mishmash collector's list. But with 9th edition, with the new point levels, and seeing what armies people have been bringing in these, 9th edition as we know it, battle reports, that may be what you need. That might be enough now to get what you need. Because, we're expecting about a 20% reduction in, or a 20% increase in all point values across the board, which is still like the most closely guarded secret at this point.
So, it is.
I keep thinking, going back, I mean, the idea of a Hellbrute or even a Venom Crawler were kind of laughable in last edition. They had tough, but now with the new strategic reserves thing where they can come in on a board edge, suddenly that becomes a lot more threatening. Then it's going to lumber up field for two turns before it gets in combat.
And then there's the fact that vehicles can shoot when they're in combat. You can't just lock a vehicle outside of being able to shoot anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the Venom Crawler, I forgot, is that a vehicle or a monster? Or what is it?
Demon engines are tricky.
Technically, probably could determine what it is.
Give me a sec, I can find it.
I know the Forge Fiend's a vehicle. No, actually, I don't know that for sure. So yeah, the idea that those things can shoot in close combat. Yeah, suddenly the flamethrower version of the Forge Fiend sounds, the ectoplasm launcher guy sounds reasonable. So yeah,
the Forge Fiend's a vehicle. Defiler is a vehicle. Venom Crawler is a vehicle.
So there you go. So yeah, you're right. Those guys are shooting in close combat. And if I remember right, at top tier, the Venom Crawler still has a pretty decent gun. And remember, it degrades quickly because it's like strength user or something like that. Strength user +2 or something like that. So, yeah, you've got a lot of options there. So, all right. Exterminatus audience, help Ray out. Let us know on our Facebook page. What should he be playing in 9th edition based on those lists? I don't know. I would Chaos Space Marine sounds neat. I know a lot of the Chaos Space Marine players or the top players are saying it's going to play very different and you have to make several changes, but then I'm kind of going like, well, what were they playing before? And it felt like they were, Chaos Space Marines kind of in flux going into LVO, and we haven't really seen a lot of events since LVO because of COVID. So it's kind of we're expecting a big change one way or the other. Yeah. So I don't know. My vote's Thousand Suns for you. I think you do good with that. I'm pretty sure I kind of go with the scientific approach. Keep playing the army I have been playing, not just because I love it, but kind of eliminates the variables. So I know how my army works, being that my codex hasn't been invalidated. So I'm just going to have to relearn 9th and see what happens and take a couple lumps on the chin until I figure out, oh, this doesn't work anymore. Interesting enough, the list that I've been playing converts very easily to 9th and is also pretty close to what Skari was playing. I think minor plus or minus 2 units. So watching him play lately has been kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. See that. So that's been kind of helpful. That being said, I still have, they had a demon focus this week. It really didn't touch on anything new, but the new Psychic Awakenings with the exalted abilities were eye-opening. And I have several greater demons that I'd love to bring out. So I think that'd be a lot of fun, as well as the, I think it's called the Brazen Rampage, Brazen Charge, maybe. And so I have, for some reason or not, I have a ton of Juggernauts. Maybe it's for the old days of the old Fate Crusher list, or Blood Crushers, that's what they're called. And they have this new ability where they can advance and charge, and then if they kill the unit, if they charge a unit, they do like mortal wounds on the charge, as soon as they, like at the end of the charge phase. If they kill the unit that they charged initially, they can charge again. So I'm like, seems very situational, but in the day and age where the multi-charge is a lot more difficult, the idea that, okay, I'm going to charge like a character or the last remnants of the squad and then charge again, because I should be able to kill two models with this many mortal wounds. But then I'm going like, well, how did you whittle them down? You don't have any shooting in a demon army. So I'm like, it's not going to work. I don't know yet. So I got my demons, which are, yeah, woefully unpainted. And now, and what makes it worse is like I finally chose a paint scheme and I primered them all black and I need to primer them white. So it's just like, oh my God. What was the other army? Of course, I got Chukara. We talked about them at length. I still have my Inari army from the last summer, and I kind of gave up on them. But two key changes for ninth got my attention. Number one is the opponents choose who fights first after the charge phase. So suddenly, always fighting first has benefit. So now that's the pull key of power from pain, strength from death. So suddenly the idea that all, you know, my guy is charged, and then before since I killed something earlier in the turn, all the other guys that were in close combat get to fight first is pretty neat. So that's kind of a neat ability. And the other thing is that with vehicles, the heavy, you know, the minus one to be moving and shooting with heavy weapons went away. Suddenly all the pulse lasers on my Falcons aren't nearly as bad. Before, I had to fit them all with crystal targeting matrices, and it was a pain in the neck. It didn't work. But now I'm like, ooh, I do have some long-range shooting in addition to the, whatever, the spider thingy was, a Doomweaver, is that what it's called? So, I don't know. But then it all goes back to the points cost. How expensive are these models going to be, and how many can I really squeeze into a list? So, wild, crazy stuff. And then probably the last thing is all how to plan for tournaments. We already talked about the painting score, working on terrain at this point. One thing, obstacles, if you're within 3 inches of an obstacle, you get a cover save. So does that mean I put all my obstacles on a three inch base or larger than a 3 inch base? That way there's no guesswork, kind of like the super large objective markers. You know, if you're on the base, you're within 3 inches of the obstacle. How to make terrain easy to understand with all these keywords, so you're not sitting there like looking at a cue card. Okay, this piece of terrain has this. I definitely want those keywords set before the tournament starts, so players aren't mixing and matching each turn. But actually came up with a couple new designs last night to reflect the new rules. Some of the terrain I built is too big comparative to what they talked about in rule packs, which I hope is in that chapter approved, by the way. So all kinds of ideas still trying to come up with. And then, of course, the last thing is the when is this whole COVID-19 going to end so we can get people together and actually play? And then you brought up before the show, you know, keeping track of score. There's, you know, new products on Etsy already. Mm-hmm. So lots to talk about there. So what are your thoughts for getting ready for ninth? Let us know again on our Facebook page. Ray, anything else you want to bring up this week?
Nope. I don't think so.
All right. So next week, we'll talk a little more in depth about the anticipated meta for 9th edition. Get right into that whole competitive scene. In the meantime, any further breaking updates, you can hit us up on our Facebook page. Until then, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.